My name is Jerry. I'm a grateful believer, and I've struggled with a variety of compulsive and addictive behaviors, including anger, sex, drugs, and alcohol. I was born into a highly dysfunctional alcoholic family. We came to Oregon from the Midwest in 1948. My dad couldn't keep work, so we moved a lot. 13 grade school and 5 high school changes. We lived in a lot of shacks and broken down houses. I was in the 7th grade when my parents finally got indoor plumbing. I was the oldest of 3 kids, and I caught most of the abuse that grew out of a failing family situation. As a child, I was beaten, burned, tied to chairs, and locked in a room for a week at a time. I was taken from my home and made a ward of the court. I was sent to a boarding school and placed in several foster homes. I was sexually abused by both men and women. I was violated, humiliated, betrayed, and corrupted. I became isolated in shame and fear. At age 14, I ran away. Life on the street was much worse than home. I wanted to be safe. I wanted to be warm. I wanted to be loved, but that didn't happen. I was caught and locked up several times for being a runaway. I wondered what I had done to deserve this kind of life. I became fueled by a burning resentment and a sometimes raging anger. I developed a very distorted set of coping skills. In desperation, I walked down the aisle of a church. They put hands on me, I said the sinner's prayer, and I promised God that I would be good. They told me that I was a new person because now I had God in me. But I broke my promises, and having been taught that people who don't keep their promises to God are destined to burn in hell, I slipped away. In lonely confusion, I became a prisoner of my secrets. When I was 19, I joined the Marine Corps. It was the first honorable thing I did in my life. They build men, and they said, "Kid, we have a place for you." I became a fiercely dedicated Marine. I achieved exceptionally high marks in all my training. My low self-esteem prevented me from accepting an officer's commission, so they turned me into a proficient jungle fighter who never dropped out, never broke weak, and never failed to accomplish his mission. I was proud to be a Marine, but inside I was very troubled. I searched for God. I went to chapel. I was baptized. I tried to resolve my inner conflict. But guys got killed that I thought deserved to live more than I did. I couldn't understand how a righteous God could do that, so I decided to hate God. A few years later, someone told me that anyone who hated God so passionately couldn't help but believe there was a God, and maybe, just maybe, he had a plan for me. Out of the jungle, out of the core, I had no legitimate outlet for the turbulence that raged inside of me. I couldn't control my behavior. I was addicted to the adrenaline rush of intense circumstances. I was often triggered by obnoxious, arrogant, or abusive individuals. I couldn't shake off my craving for revenge. Sometimes violent, sometimes criminal, I found myself on a path of self-destruction. I didn't want to be bad, but I couldn't stop doing bad things. I ended up spending 5 years in a maximum security prison for a series of violent crimes. In my second year in prison, I renewed my search for God. I took Bible study classes. I prayed for help. I found that passage in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19. The acts of a sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I knew that I was doomed. It took another 30 years for me to find the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. On the night before I got out of prison, I prayed that God would help me live a life of doing no harm. I rededicated my life in January of 1970 and began my recovery. Using a combination of therapies and education, I was determined to put my criminal life behind me. I kept company with men of good character. I began making amends for the wreckage of my past. I worked hard and did good things, but inside I still felt unworthy. I had a lot of baggage and bad beliefs. God was working in my life, but I couldn't figure out how to connect with Him. Instead, I connected with drugs and alcohol. I drank for relief from the shame and anguish, from the guilt and the remorse. I thought I was fatally flawed and beyond salvation. My mother died in 1986, and a year later my brother died, both from cancer, and I experienced a new kind of grief. I drank to medicate the pain, and that worked for a while, giving temporary respite, but it didn't cure the problem. Because I come from a long line of alcoholics, it was only a matter of time before I no longer had the choice. I drank because I had to drink. The effects of drugs and alcohol began to erode the good works I'd been doing, and that evil grip started pulling me down again. But this time, I saw how much I had to lose. So I went into outpatient treatment, quit drinking, and joined AA. I stayed on a good path for many years. God blessed me with a wonderful wife. I passed the 20-year mark at my work. I became a productive citizen. I became a better husband, a better father, and a better man. I was blessed with many great educational and growth experiences. But I was still not a done piece of work. I discovered a soul-wounded little boy inside of me who was so deeply hurt that his pain and anger still had not been mended. And because of this, I feared that I was still badly broken, that I was only pretending to be good, that if ever it came down to nothing left to lose, I would be out running and gunning again. In my struggle to survive the abuse, neglect, and abandonment of my childhood, I did not notice that my identity as a child of God had been stolen from me. Step two in my early AA days had been really hard for me. I just couldn't trust that God would care about me or that my life mattered to Him. I had a real problem with trust. The first step for me toward trusting God was to realize that I couldn't trust myself. My best thinking kept getting me into a lot of trouble. Even though I could go for a time without acting out, there always seemed to be something that would pop up and wreck my bus. I might not have been drinking, for example, but I was also not paying my bills on time. I had a lot of resentments, and I was pretty active at playing bumper cars on the freeway. Somebody calls that road rage. I also had another problem. I didn't listen very well. I worked a fairly good program, but I had to do everything the hard way. I could occasionally see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I could even hear the whistle blow. It took a long time, though, to learn that sometimes that means there's a train coming. God talked to me a lot, but most of the time I wasn't paying attention. I had a lot of critical voices inside my head. So in 2002, I was blessed with cancer. They found a tumor inside my eye and had to remove the eye. I have a prosthetic right eye. While the notion that the C word might mean the end of life for me, my spirit was liberated. I knew then that I would much rather have a fatal physical disease than a fatal spiritual one. A friend of mine, my AA sponsor, invited me to his church and introduced me to celebrate recovery. I'd been in AA for almost 12 years then, but the materials in the Step Study workbooks took me to a whole new level of recovery. I was sent to Saddleback Church for training. I led the CR program for several years, and I now have over 17 years in CR. In CR, I came to realize that my loving God truly exists and has been active in my life for a long time in spite of me. No matter how many times I got hit by that train, he kept saving my life. I knew I had to learn how to trust him. I asked God to take control of my life. I asked him to show me the way. Things started working a lot better. I let God in. I surrendered. I accepted his forgiveness. Rather than just restoring me to sanity, he restored me to clarity. And I discovered that some of my so-called character defects were actually God-given strengths. At my worst, for example, I had been harshly judgmental, but I was actually given the gift of discernment. Creativity looks a lot different when you're solving problems than when you're causing them. God's Spirit made me safer to be around. My life became more manageable. I started becoming accountable to others for most of my behaviors, and I began acknowledging my defects as they surfaced. I started keeping promises. I loved the change in me. God gives good guidance. As it suggests in step 11, God can be more clearly revealed to me if I'm willing to be willing. I was led to a Bible version of step 11. Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says, make a careful explanation of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. Take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. I am continuing to grow in an understanding of what God's will is for me. In 2005, I had a very large tumor removed from my abdomen, and the doctors gave me less than a year to live. While it's easy to think that we're all terminal, the message I got was that I didn't have any time to waste. It meant that I had to start doing what matters most today and every day. There is no someday in my future that I will have time to finish those things that I intended to do. I'd lived a very busy life, but I hadn't focused enough on the people in my life who mattered the most. I have a wife of 35 years, 3 adult children, 4 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. What is the legacy I want to leave for them? How do I want to be remembered? My priorities have changed a lot in these last few years. I also discovered that CR has resources for adult children of family dysfunction, by the way, and I have spent the last 7 years immersed in a focused study in that area. God has performed miracles in me. I've been free of drugs for over 31 years, sober for 29. I haven't engaged in outrageous behaviors. I've made amends for much of the damage I've done to others. And the deep wounds of my childhood trauma are being healed. I've been welcomed into several recovery fellowships where I can serve with God's grace. I found a new friend, and the little boy in me has a new dad whose name is Jesus. I found victory in surrender. The true meaning of many of the life lessons I was taught along the way are still being revealed to me. God loves me, and I'm discovering new ways to love him back. I've experienced the healing power of this spiritual solution in my life, and I want more of it. I've been given a life purpose and a God-centered recovery program and a place to belong. I'm currently working on the codependent behaviors that were woven into the fabrics of my life. And with the help of the Fellowship of Celebrate Recovery, I will continue making Jesus the focus of my life. I also want to say that I've left out several chapters of my story: personal relationships, career path, civic achievements, and so on. But the outcome has been the same in every case. I was told to just trust God, clean house, and serve others. God's faithful healing hand has, over time, been on every aspect of my life. To the newcomer, I'd like to say this. Celebrate Recovery is a fellowship where our hunger and hope combine with God's purpose to mend our lives. Personal recovery is a journey in community with others who are seeking God's will. The CR principles and scriptures are sort of a roadmap that help us find our way. In sobriety, we have a choice. We can focus on living the life God wants us to live instead of fighting against the life we don't want to live. One of my mentors said, when I align our choices with what matters most, we become less at the mercy of what matters least. Together, we are able to bring our lives into a more wholesome balance rather than just reacting to outside forces. When we find harmony with God's will for our lives, our chances for success are greater in all other aspects. CR is a safe place to do that work. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. In physical health, recovery refers to the process of moving from illness to wellness. Our hurts, habits, and hang-ups are like an illness, and using the tools of Celebrate Recovery, we begin to move toward wellness. From brokenness to wholeness, we can become reunited with the person God intended for us to be. Some might say from bondage to freedom in Christ, or maybe from self-reliance to faith in Christ. We like to use the phrase from hurting to healing to helping. Once you find your way out of the pit, it's easier to encourage others who are looking for that path. As the song says, "I'm on the road to recovery, step by step, day by day. Now, more than ever before, I'm grateful to be alive. I've found peace and protection and a sense of purpose. I'm willing to let Jesus be the director of my life." And if you check the calendar, you'll see that I'm more than 15 years older than I was expected to live. My wounds are being healed. I'm becoming the man God intended me to be, and he's still bringing a lot of helpful, caring people into my life. Thanks for letting me share.